And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Dr. Melissa Clark, who's a Harvard-educated physician for over 20 years, healthcare educator and patient advocate. We'll be talking to Dr. Clark about her new book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? And Dr. Clark, first of all, welcome to The Front Page.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm going to allow you to talk to the listeners right now about what the book is about. Essentially, it's basically advice on how to take charge of your own health care, correct?
That's absolutely so. Excuse me, doctor, I've got what is something that I've heard so many times over the 20 years I've been practicing, and I've actually said it myself to doctors or been there when my parents or loved ones have said it to doctors. And it's really, when you say those words, each of those scenarios have in common that the patient who's saying those words is about to embark on a journey to reclaim their health. But unfortunately, a lot of those times it's like being dropped in the middle of a forest and having to find your way out without a compass or a GPS or a guide. And so I wrote the book to really be a comprehensive guide, really, to help people find their way through the healthcare maze, first realizing that taking ownership of your own health, doing simple things in your own life to reclaim your health is the first step, and then being able to work effectively with your doctor, complementary and alternative practitioners, understanding clinical trials, surviving a hospital stay, dealing with insurance, getting quality care. These are all things that a lot of times we have to deal with.
Well,
and how to do it effectively.
I was going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was going to say that this comes just after the advent of the new Affordable Care Act, which has sort of changed the ball game in the playing field when we talk about health care and what it means to the average individual there out on the street.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't realize that the Affordable Care Act, it has reformed the insurance industry, but it's also changed the way that doctors and hospitals get paid for what they do. And there's a new expectation that doctors and hospitals provide service and are now judged by the outcomes that patients have, not simply by the service they provide. So therefore, doctors and hospitals are realizing, hey, we have to step up our game and give patients a higher quality care because we're being judged by these new standards. But we also have to make sure that patients have all the tools and information that they need to better self-care and self-manage their conditions, because that's really the only way that patients, that they'll be able to get the outcomes that are needed in order to have a better quality of care. So therefore, patients are having to now be healthcare consumers, whereas before, the dynamic of the relationship was really just a one-way street. Now it's expected that patients really be active participants in their care.
I think one of the things you mentioned early on in the book is don't consider yourself to be a patient, or actually you change the definition of what a patient is in some ways.
Well, I'm really into where root words, the root meanings of words, and the root meaning of patient comes from the Latin pascine and patior, actually in Latin, pascine in Greek, which means to suffer. And a lot of times, that is exactly what the patient experience is like. When we think about suffering, we think about being in a passive mindset. Things are happening to us over which we have no control. But, you know, that really couldn't be further from the truth, because most of healing that occurs in our body is actually, you know, things that we do, things that we have influence over. And so I really encourage patients, quote unquote, to change the mindset from being a passive patient to being an engaged healthcare consumer, and really understanding that they have an incredible influence over how well they do, and that their doctors who they work with are really partners in their healthcare journey.
So does it start with changing that mindset when we talk about taking charge of one's own healthcare?
It really does. It starts, that's the foundation, overcoming that passive patient mindset, not thinking of yourself as your disease, not saying I'm a diabetic and I am an asthmatic, but understanding that really your body is designed for wellness, and that by giving it the environment and the building blocks in order to get well, that's, you know, a huge part of the journey towards wellness and having the best health outcomes that you can have.
What do you recommend, Dr. Clark, when we talk about taking control of your own health care? All right, I've got my mindset changed. I want to be more aggressive and more active in taking control of things. Where do I go from there?
Great question. So taking control of your lifestyle, really I've broken it down into kind of five areas in which it's been proven that by addressing these five areas in your life, you address the root cause of many diseases, which is chronic inflammation. When the immune system is functioning well, it allows us, our bodies, to repair effectively and to create new healthy cells. About 100,000 cancer cells, for example, pop up in our body every day. But a highly functioning immune system that's working well actually takes care of that problem, and it never turns into a cancer that we can see or experience. So really being able to allow your body, your immune system, to stay in balance as much as possible is really the key to health. When it's out of balance, it develops something called chronic inflammation. And where in your body that pops up really depends upon mostly your genes and, you know, what your tendencies are in terms of familial history, familial tendencies. But when it pops up, how bad it is when it pops up, and if it pops up at all, really depends upon the things that you do in your life every day, such as, and these are the five things, nutrition, sleep, hydration, how much water and fluid you take into your body every day, managing your stress levels, and getting enough sunlight, or which basically translates into vitamin D. So those are sort of the five building blocks of good health. And we talk in Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What, Chapter 4, specifically about how to address those five issues in your life so that you're strategically doing it to enhance the health of your immune system, which can then go on to adequately repair and recreate your body as it needs to.
So it sounds to me like you're saying start with your own internal fortress, do things that make you healthier. Say you talked about diet, exercise, better sleep patterns, and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Those are the building blocks to make your immune system balanced so that it can best do its job and keep your body, keep your fortress strong as possible.
You mentioned another concept I thought that was interesting, creating a complete healthcare team. In other words, not just one doctor, but looking at maybe various other professionals and maybe some different fields and areas of study.
Yes, creating a complete healthcare team, really, that chapter in the book, Chapter 5, actually breaks down all the different kinds of conventional doctors that there are, that we may have heard the names of, but aren't really quite sure what they do. But it also talks about complementary and alternative doctors, because a lot of times combining those approaches has been shown to be the most effective way to have an improved health outcome. So, for example, acupuncturists, a lot of people may not realize are now being reimbursed for things like pain management, reimbursed by insurance companies for things like pain management, for control of nausea and vomiting post-operatively, you know, after a surgery or during chemotherapy. So I go through all the different complementary and alternative medicine practitioners and some practices, explain what they are, and what research has shown that they are effective at addressing. And hopefully that will empower the reader to understand, number one, if they have a certain condition, to talk with their doctor about, hey, do you think this is a good idea, or I'd like to incorporate this into my treatment? Or if they're referred to any sort of doctor, conventional or complementary, understand that what that person is for and how they can best work with that individual.
It's kind of like that old phrase, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have to mention, on a personal note, that my interest in complementary and alternative medicine started when my dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and sort of seeing all the things that, in terms of how he was misdiagnosed, the side effects of the medications, how things fell through the cracks unless we as a family were on top of them, and realizing that there were so many symptoms that he had that could not be addressed by the treatment plan that was put forth by his neurologist. So we explored acupuncture, which was very helpful to him. And I subsequently became certified in acupuncture because after doing research and reading a lot about it, I realized how many different symptoms it can address and how it can be effectively combined with conventional therapy, again, to help relieve symptoms and get better health outcomes.
I really like that part of the book, quite frankly. I thought it was eye-opening and very educational in the sense that you introduced the reader to, as you mentioned, things that would be considered non-traditional types of medicine. You talk about chiropractic. You mentioned acupuncturists. You talk about osteopaths and naturopaths and homeopaths and things like that that many people may not know very much about, if anything.
Exactly. And I also talk about various other kinds of modalities, healing modalities like Reiki, massage therapy, and other things that people might not even realize can be used and incorporated into their treatment plan. And specifically, acupuncture, chiropractic, and massage are sometimes paid for by various insurance plans, or you can buy an additional what's called a rider, so basically extended coverage, so to speak, if you want to have your insurance plan pay for complementary and alternative care, specifically those three, acupuncture, chiropractic, and massage.
Again, the book we're talking about today on the front page is Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? We're talking with the author of that book, Dr. Melissa Clark, who's a Harvard educated physician for over 20 years, healthcare educator, and also patient advocate. And we will talk to Dr. Clark some more right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Once again, we're talking to Dr. Melissa Clark about her book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? It's basically a how to take charge of your personal health care type of manual. And Dr. Clark, as we continue the discussion, so if you've been diagnosed with, I'm not sure what, maybe some disease, or you've got some sort of physical ailment that needs to be treated in the hospital, I think another aspect of your book that was very interesting, I think, and many people likely don't think about is what you call create a positive hospital experience.
Absolutely. So we all have heard, I'm sure, of the medical mistakes that can happen in hospitals because of human error, and also a lot of times because of a lack of oversight for quality of care in some instances. That's fortunately changing because of healthcare reform, where hospitals are now being reimbursed a little bit differently than in the past. So patients who are admitted and then discharged and then end up being readmitted within that past month, within the next month, are considered quote-unquote readmissions, and hospitals are now being penalized for patients who are readmitted because the assumption is that the care that was provided the first time around was not sufficient enough, or the discharge plan, helping them get back into their home or to a rehab facility, that part of it was not handled in a smooth, integrated way. And so the person ended up back in the hospital. So fortunately, because hospitals are being more scrutinized, some of the things that they're doing are have changed and are changing for the better. But for now, there are certain things that we should be very vigilant of when we go to the hospital. The first is, as much as possible, go with a loved one or an advocate, someone who can be your eyes and ears. That's really crucial because when we're in the hospital, presumably we're sick or we're under the influence of medications that make it so that we can't really focus or concentrate. So therefore, it's important to have someone with you who can ask the important questions, who can advocate for you at all times. The next thing to really be cognizant of is try to choose a high-quality hospital. There's now a website, Medicare.gov, and they have a feature called Hospital Compare, where you can actually look at hospitals in your community or any hospital that you might be thinking of going to and actually understand how they rate around certain parameters like quietness, cleanliness, attentiveness of the staff, education, discharge instructions, and really be knowledgeable about what to expect from that hospital. The other thing that's really important, I think, is always ask for a copy of anything that's being done, of any results that happen, and ask for an explanation, because that forces the provider who ordered the test to go over it with you and be aware of the results. One of the things that unfortunately falls through the cracks are tests can get ordered and people don't actually see the results. So by asking for a copy and asking for that person to review it with you, you will definitely know, as will the provider, what the result was. And then the next thing, which I think is really important, is the squeaky wheel gets the most oil. So always ask questions in a nice, not demanding way, but make sure that all your questions are answered and all your needs are met, because hospital staff are pulled in 1,000 different directions, and it's important to be persistent and, again, have that advocate to ask the questions on your behalf if you can't ask them for yourself.
We've got just about 4 minutes left on the program, so I've got a couple of different questions. I'll ask you this next question here. First of all, you recommend that people consider a clinical trial, and if you would, explain what that is and why you recommend it.
Sure. A clinical trial is when a new procedure, a new test, or new way of treating an illness is being tested. And generally, there's one group of people who don't get the treatment and one group of people who do. And for some people who have an illness that's hard to treat, it's an alternative that they can consider to get cutting-edge treatments that, unfortunately, you know, the risk is it hasn't been tested, but the potential is there that it may help whatever whatever condition you have. But every time you think about enrolling in a clinical trial, it's important to understand what the risks are and what the benefits are, and go over that very carefully with the study coordinator or whoever is sponsoring the clinical trial. A great way to learn about clinical trials, number one, is to go to clinicaltrials.gov, which is a federal website where, again, you can learn about approved clinical trials, or you can also go to foundations advocacy groups that work around certain diseases, like the Alzheimer's Association, for example, or the American Heart Association, to find out about clinical trials that specifically address your condition. And finally, you can also ask your doctor.
I guess with the remaining time, the one thing that is really daunting for people outside of just the actual gauntlet that you run through in terms of getting the right treatment for whatever problem you might have, the insurance side of all this and making sure that you understand the financial aspects of what you're dealing with, I mean, that can be pretty complicated.
It can. And, debt from, foreclosures in the United States really come from medical debt. That's the number one cause. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have experienced illnesses and been bankrupted by them. That was one of the impetuses behind health care reform and the Affordable Care Act. So now I think the key things that people need to know are, one, if you're uninsured, that you can get health insurance through the health insurance exchange. And there's a 1-800 number that you can call if you don't want to work with the website. Number two, that the insurance that's now available is designed to help protect people from catastrophes, financial catastrophes. So the minimum insurance that you can now buy is not one that will sort of leave you when you most need it. A lot of times in the past, insurances did not cover your expenses when you needed it most. So, for example, they may cut off after a certain number of days in the hospital or have a limit on how much they would pay for the year. So with insurance reform, these things have changed, so it's now more consumer-friendly.
Well, I need to cut you off there because we've got to go, but I wanted to give you a quick opportunity to tell folks, Dr. Clark, how they can get a copy of your book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What?
Absolutely. You can find it at drmelissaclark.com. That's drmelissaclark.com. And it's also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Clark. We appreciate your time today on Front Page.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Again, the book is Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? We've been talking to the author, Dr. Melissa Clark, on the show. I'm Chuck Mraz. See you next time.